So there's a man who worked at a sawmill factory. And one day as he was leaving work, he was pushing a wheelbarrow with a box. And the security guard, as this man was leaving, noticed this man pushing this wheelbarrow. And so the security guard asked him, he said, "Sir, why are you pushing this wheelbarrow? What's in the box?" And the worker said, "Well, it's just the collected sawdust left over from the day. I'm taking it home. Do you have a problem with that?" And the security guard thought, he's like, "Well, is it really sawdust?" So he's like, can I check the box? And the worker's like, sure. So the security guard bends over, he looks at the box, checks it, it's sawdust. So he doesn't think anything about it, he lets the worker go on his way. For 3 more days, the worker is pushing this wheelbarrow with this box on his way to leave work, on his way home every single day. By the 5th day, the security guard's beginning to get a little suspicious, and he's like, what would this guy be using sawdust for? Just exactly what is he doing? And so as the worker's leaving on the 5th day, the security guard stops him and says, "Sir, what exactly do you need the sawdust for? Just exactly what do you need sawdust for?" The worker says, "Well, you know, it's fall. Temperatures are starting to lower a little bit, and soon winter will be here." He says, I collect the sawdust every day, and I put it in this box, and I take it home, and I need it to heat my house. You know, winter's coming. It's going to get cold." Security guard's like, "Well, I can't see anything wrong with that answer." And so he lets the worker continue. This happens for every day, weeks, and months. And finally, spring comes. And the worker's still pushing this wheelbarrow with a box in it. And the security guard's like, "You know what? It's a little fishy. What exactly is going on?" And so the next day he goes, "I'm going to stop that guy." So the next day comes and the security guard sees the man coming with the wheelbarrow in the box. And so he says, "Sir, it's spring. Let me check the box again. Let me check the box. It's been a while. Let me check the box." So the guy says, "Sure." He obliges. "Check the box. You're more than welcome to." So the security guard looks in the box, sawdust. He's like, "Man, there has to be something else." So he starts putting his hands and messing around, and sawdust. I wanted to give our graduates a little bit of words of encouragement, some words of wisdom and advice. And last year we spent some time in 2 Timothy as we talked about the baton, and there were some words of wisdom and encouragement and advice in that scripture. And I thought, you know, let's stay in Timothy. I mean, Paul really does give a young Timothy some encouraging words, some good advice, and some challenges as well. Let's stay in Timothy as we continue to give our students words of encouragement and wisdom and advice this morning. This morning we're going to be in 1 Timothy 4. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. If you have your phones, go ahead and get your Bible app open. Get to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 1 through 16 this morning. Let me set up some context. The books of Timothy, these letters that Paul writes to his protege, Timothy was viewed as his son in the faith. Timothy would go on 2 missionary journeys with Paul. And Paul kind of, I mean, he just quickly found out as Timothy's going on these missionary journeys that Timothy had it. I mean, Timothy was raised in a house where his mother was a believer and his grandmother was a believer. And so his mother and his grandmother really instilled good, solid beliefs in young Timothy. And Paul recognized that. And so he takes Timothy on these missionary journeys. And when he finds out that, man, this guy is, he's got it, Paul decides, I'm going to put him in the city of Ephesus at this new church where they're experiencing a lot of false teachings and false doctrines. And we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, a warning that Paul gives to Timothy. He says this, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron." The statistics are staggering. And I went back. I tried to get some more up-to-date statistics, but the earliest I could find was 2022, the most recent statistics in the Christian Standard magazine. This is a magazine that the Restoration Movement puts out every, I think it's every week, maybe every month. But in the Christian Standard in 2022, they did a study, and the research showed that anywhere between 50 to 80% of Christian students who go off to college will leave or abandon their faith completely while in college. And it's not hard to understand. We might like, that is a crazy number. I mean, those statistics, that 50 to 80%, that's crazy. That's wild. How could it be so many? It's truly not hard to understand, right? I mean, Paul says it so plainly right here. He said, there are some bad actors who make it their mission to deceive and lead people astray. And there's several ways that this happens. But this morning, I want to focus on one specific way. One way that I think is really just permeating our culture like no other false doctrine is. And it's this. One of the biggest lies false teachers want us to believe in is that we only need to focus on ourselves. There's so many people in our world who tell us they know the secret to a better life, a happier life, a successful life. They want us to compromise our morals, our beliefs, our faith for pleasure and instant gratification. False teachers will tell us to do whatever makes us feel good, to chase whatever makes us happy. We're told that, money and the acquiring of possessions will fill longings that we have in life. We're told to climb the ladder of success to get wherever we want to go in life. We're told to follow our hearts, right? Because I only know what's good for me, and you only know what's good for you. I know what's best for me, and you know what's best for you. And no one else can tell you anything different. And let me tell you, false teachers know exactly what they're doing. They want to lead us astray with feelings and emotions, with half truths to accomplish their mission of deception. And we as humans, we gravitate, don't we? We gravitate to whatever makes us feel good, right? If it makes us feel good, I want to do it. I want to be there. I want to have it. We put so much time and effort into trying to make ourselves look good, to be better, because we think it makes us feel better. And the predominant message of the day is this: know what you're feeling and then chase that feeling. Live that feeling out. And how many times do we scroll on Instagram or Facebook and we hear someone telling us, an influencer or whoever telling us, like, hey, if you do this, if you have this, your life will be so much better. I've got the keys to success, to make your life better. Just do this, do that, follow me, do what I say, and your life will be better. How about this? Go into a bookstore and just happen to go to the section of self-help and see the countless number of self-help books that bookstores are selling. Now, I don't read self-help books, so I could be a little biased. I could be off on this, but my belief is this: if self-help books worked, we wouldn't need so many, right? I mean, at some point, they have to contradict each other, right? Because there's so many of these self-help books. Why else would there be so many? I heard in a sermon 2 years ago at CIY Move, our weekly, our week summer conference where we send our high schoolers, the speaker this Tuesday night, his name was Jerron Scott, and he said something that, I mean, really just thought-provoking and captured my attention and has stayed with me for the last 2 years. Jerron Scott said this. He said, self-help won't work because it's self-destructive. Self-help won't work because it's self-destructive. You see, no matter how much we try to fix ourselves and we put the focus on ourselves and making ourselves better, guess what? You can't fix you. And no human knows how to fix another human. No one promoting the lie of self and self-help has figured out the secret to making it work. Or else we wouldn't need all these self-help books. Paul goes on to say in verse 7, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. I mean, Paul's words of wisdom right here help us fight off that deception, right? They help us fight off putting the focus on ourselves. Paul says, have nothing to do with these lies that tell us to focus on ourselves. These are godless myths. They're old wives' tales. So how do we keep ourselves from being deceived and putting the focus on ourselves and listening to what false teachers are telling us? Well, the answer is this. We have to be disciplined to not put the focus on ourselves, but rather pursue godliness. Verses 8 and 9. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Let me fill you in on a little secret this morning. When you are focusing on yourself, when you are trying to do everything you can to make yourself better, to be a better person, to fix all of the mistakes inside of you, you will fail. Your life is still going to be very damaged and very broken. When you put the focus on God and godliness, your life becomes better. So much better. Our culture is obsessed with the physical appearance, and we have to put on this facade of perfection. And Paul says this, physical beauty, training, everything that you can do to make yourself look better and to be better, it's in vain. Why? Because it disappears. It goes away. It doesn't last. It's temporary. Paul says the effort that we put into ourselves will be in vain. He says, instead, take the focus off yourself and pursue godliness. Why? Because that lasts. It stands the test of time. Put your relationship in the Lord God because it lasts forever. To focus on what He wants for us, how He wants us to live, what He wants us to do, that is of the utmost importance. And we have to train godliness in us every single day. I mean, this isn't just like you wake up and you're like, yep, I'm going to be godly and that's it. No, godliness is an everyday pursuit. It's an everyday thing. We have to train ourselves every single day for godliness. Just like lifting weights builds muscle mass over time. I wouldn't know. I don't lift weights. That's what they tell me. So just training ourselves to be godly, we have to do this every single day. It takes time. So what does it look like to train ourselves in godliness? Well, we have to be in God's Word daily. If you want to know truth and to be able to counteract false teachings and lies, deception, you got to know what this says. And this says it's truth. And if anyone tells you, well, there's no truth, well, guess what? They're not telling the truth. Right? I mean, if there's no truth, are they telling the truth? I don't know. But this says it's truth, and this never changes. Know the truth of this word to fight off false doctrine, to keep ourselves from believing in half-truths. Know God's word. Be in it daily. Be in constant communication with God. I mean, we have to be in constant communication, praying to God, asking for His guidance, for His strength, for direction. And we have to know His voice. If we are just the ones always talking, we don't take time to listen and to hear what He's telling us, sometimes our own voice becomes the loudest voice. We have to ask for guidance. We have to ask for the Holy Spirit to lead us to truth. We have to be in tune with God's voice to know when He's speaking to us. The third thing is to be involved in Christian community. Grads, let me talk to you for a second. It is imperative that you find Christian community, that you find a church, that you find a group that can keep you accountable and continue to help you grow in your walk with Jesus. Some of you, you're going off to schools that are not in this area. You're not going to always have Jefferson. Find a church, get connected, get plugged in, be in community, have accountability, continue to strengthen your walk with Christ. And if you need help finding a church, please come and talk to me. I would love to give you some churches to go and to be a part of. I mean, it's harder to walk away from faith when you have accountability, when you have connection to a body where people love you and care about you and miss you when you're not there. Adults, I mean, this goes for us too, right? We have to stay connected. It's not enough just to come on one Sunday and think, I'm good for the month, I've got it. No, consistent accountability, consistent growth keeps us grounded. Serve others. You know, one of the easiest ways to take the focus off yourself is to put it on someone else who has less than, someone who has more of a need, right? You begin to see their brokenness, their helplessness, and it begins to change something in you. Serving others benefits others, but really it benefits us because we see that there's so much more in this life than living for ourselves, that there are actually people who need the love of Jesus, that need us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Serving others helps us love others better. And more importantly, it follows the example of Jesus, right? I mean, God coming down to earth, who deserved all of the worship and adoration and people serving him all the time, did what? He became a servant, not seeking his own service. Rid ourselves of sin. I mean, sin really does put the focus on us, right? Sin involves doing what we want to make ourselves feel better. We lie to cover up wrongs or to make ourselves seem better than we are. We cheat to get ahead of others. We commit adultery because it satisfies the carnal cravings of our flesh. We put others down to build up our pride. And Scripture tells us we have to rid ourselves of sin. Sin cannot exist. Sin and godliness cannot exist at the same time. In order to live in godliness, we have to allow sin to get out of our lives, to allow God to do his work in us to make us more like him. Living out these things only strengthens godliness in us. And when life gets difficult, when life gets hard, when our things disappear, our stuff fades, our happiness comes and goes, you know what keeps you going? Godliness. When we build our lives on godliness, challenges in life become easier to endure and to overcome. Paul goes on in verses 11 through 13 and then verse 16. Command and teach these things. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. I mean, right here, Paul gives us some of the best, like, encouragement, but also one of the greatest challenges right here in these verses. When we're able to see past false teachers and their teachings, we put the focus off of ourselves and live in godliness. Paul encourages us with this charge: humbly lead others by your example. And really, humility is the key to this, right? Paul was so confident in this young minister named Timothy that, I mean, he goes all in. He goes all in Timothy's ability to lead others away from false teaching. He says, Timothy, please do this. Do this and do this well. And for our graduates, that is my prayer for you this morning. Your peers need to see what it looks like to live for something other than self. They need someone to counter the false teachings that they're going to be told, that they see, that they hear on a constant basis. And they need you to be the example of how living for God is truly the best life possible. Man, I pray that you accept that charge, that you humbly lead others by your example, like Paul charged Timothy with. Like college-age students are leaving the faith in droves, right? 50 to 80%. And I believe that those statistics can start to decline if we have students who are willing to step up and say, yes, I will take on that charge. I will make that my mission, to lead others in truth. false teachers and teachings can't stand when it's up against the Word of God, when there are people who are counteracting them with God's truth. And Paul's words speak to the youthfulness of Timothy, right? Like, you're young. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But these words are true for all people. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're young, if you're middle-aged, if you're a little bit more seasoned in life, right? It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter your age. You can be an example. Don't let any excuse keep you from being an example. Someone needs to see past the lies of false teachers. Continue to live lives that are devoted to truth. Read and trust God's truth every single day. Teach, correct false teachings and teachers when given the opportunity. The example of godliness comes from how we humbly live our lives, as Paul charged Timothy to live his life. And when others notice that there's something different about how we live and how it's so counter to the ways of the world, they can't help but ask, why are you so different? What makes you so different? And Paul told Timothy, it's in those moments you lead others to truth and away from the lies that the world will tell them. Okay, said the security guard, what exactly is going on? Why, a box of sawdust, what is going on? What are you doing? Why is the sawdust so important? What's going on? If you're doing something you're not supposed to do, please let me know. I'm not going to turn you in. There's not going to be any consequences. Just tell me, what is the sawdust all about? There was a moment of silence. And finally, the worker looked up at the security guard and says, fine, you want to know what's going on? I'm stealing wheelbarrows. I gave all of our grads a little wheelbarrow. So now you understand. False teachers want nothing more than to steal your life from right out underneath you. Scripture says so. Jesus says so. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I mean, false teachers believe want us to believe that we're not a bad person, right? We just make mistakes. We're not bad. You can fix all the wrong in your lives, right? You're fine. It's all good. They want us to focus on ourselves and miss the truth of salvation. That you can't fix you and I can't fix me because we are broken people. That there's only one way that our wrongs can be made right. They will do whatever it takes to get us fixated on anything but the truth. And when false teachers tell us that there's a new way to live, a new way to receive forgiveness, a new way to do this and to do that to make yourself happy and successful, God's word never changes. Jesus says this in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And this morning, we can be deceived and focus so much on the box and sawdust that we miss out on the bigger picture right in front of our faces. You can get so consumed with what the world tells you you should do that you miss the truth of Jesus. And we can be so easily deterred like the security guard and have our life stolen right out from underneath us and not even know. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that promise, that truth has stood the test of time and will never change. This morning, if you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, if you are living for yourself, man, make this the morning that you surrender. There's a better life waiting for you, a life of purpose and of meaning. Surrender and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and walk in newness of life. Build up godliness and lead others to the truth of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, we do get consumed. We allow ourselves to be deceived. And I admit I've been guilty of chasing things, of pursuing things, of doing things that I think are good for me and make me feel good. And yeah, I've been let down. But I also know that surrendering my life to Jesus and living for Him and in Him and pursuing godliness truly does give me a better life. So Lord, I pray that we would not be so easily deceived, but that we would know truth and stand on truth. And God, that we would spread that truth. There's a world that is craving truth. They just don't know it. May we take up this charge to lead others by our example to truth. And we're so thankful for the truth. Jesus leaving heaven and coming down here to be amongst His creation, to live and to walk, to experience everything we experience, all for the sole purpose of laying His life down, to die upon a cross, so that way we may be set free from the bondage of sin and slavery. May we spread that truth to the world that so desperately needs it. And we thank You for Your love for us. And even when we fall short, Lord, we know that we can come back to You and You will receive us with open arms. What an amazing truth and promise. Send that truth and that promise that we pray these things this morning. Amen. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, if you have not made that decision and you're living for yourself, you've got brokenness, you've got emptiness, man, I would love to talk with you over here on the side of the stage. Surrender your life to Jesus. Have new life. Live a life that's meaningful and purposeful. If you want to make that decision this morning, I would love to talk with you. Robin will be over here on the side with me as well. Come and talk to us. If you need prayer for anything as well, please come and talk with us and let us pray for you, encourage you, and lift you up however we can as we sing the song of invitation. Peace.